Let's look to him in prayer once again tonight. Father, we're thankful for the service, what it's been. And now we're thankful for the portion where we take up your word and we stop to consider what you have for us. And we realize that the efforts of man are meaningless, but it is the Spirit that quickens and gives life. And we know that is true to your word. And I pray that your Spirit would really empower me, control me. I would know what to say and how to present it. And may just the simple, plain truth of your word have an impact on my heart tonight. And these as well. We thank you for this now in your name. Amen. Tonight, we're going to call this It's Worth It Part 2, Andrew. That was Part 1 last week. And we started out by asking ourselves, what does the name of the Lord Jesus mean to you? What does it mean to you? And we looked at some examples of the experiences of some of God's own, and we discovered that claiming the name of the Lord, identifying themselves as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, enlisting and carrying on the service of the Lord, the commission that we have been given, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, can be a very costly thing. Just this afternoon, Jerry is hooked up with an internet organization. Pardon? Anyway, it reports things going on in the realm of Christianity. And every week she keeps getting updates and things like this. And today she said, listen to this. In South Africa, there was a missionary conducting a service Thursday evening. A gentleman had showed the picture of this man and his family, a wife and four young children. He was just conducting a service Thursday night, and in the midst of the service, four masked gunmen came into the service, took the missionary away, drove off in the missionary's car, and just flat disappeared. What's happened to him? What's happened? What did this man do wrong? He didn't do anything wrong. He was conducting a service in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes identification with the Lord can be very costly. I don't know this man's name, but if the Lord brings this young father, pastor, missionary to your mind, you ought to pray for him. He has a wife and four small children without the father or husband tonight. Is he still alive? Only the Lord knows. But what was it all about? Because he was holding a service in the name of the Lord. This was just this past Thursday. This is not something that happened at the time that the Bible was being written. Things like this are going on in various places around the world because of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, which the enemy hates. And many times will do anything he can to destroy, to discourage, and wipe out any progress for our Lord Jesus Christ. And we saw examples of that in our service last week. And I want us to continue doing that same thing this evening. And it's my prayer that as we just look at the scriptures and see what the name of the Lord meant to them, ask yourself, does he mean that much to me? Is it worth it to me to continue this position for the Lord Jesus Christ? Or would it be better for me just to back off, sit down, shut up? I want us to begin. We left off in Philippians chapter 1 last week, but I want us to go back to Philippians chapter 1, not verse 20 and 21 that we looked at, but I want us to look at verse 29 of Philippians chapter 1. Philippians 1, 29. And here, we see that Paul, after he had said in verse 21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain, we go just a few verses later to verse 29, and how long has it been since we have been challenged with the truth that this verse teaches us? What truth, Pastor? For unto you it is given in behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but what? But also to suffer for his sake. All of us would raise our hands and say, boy, I like that part of the verse where it says, unto you it's been given to believe on him. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that I was chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Thank you, Lord. But how many of us would then raise our hand and say, and thank you, Lord, that I can also, it's been given to me. This is a part of being a child, a follower of Christ, is that I am going to suffer if I claim that name. We like the song, Blessed Be the Name, that Kate played. But what about when it brings suffering to us? That's a part of being a Christian. But oh, how we try to avoid it so many times. We know this person doesn't know the Lord. We know what they need to hear is the gospel, but we keep our mouths shut because we know they have a reputation for not being too happy when somebody wants to witness to them, when somebody wants to share the gospel with them. Say, Pastor, you hit the nail right on the head. How did you know that? Who told you that's what I do so many times? Experience is the what? Best teacher. You say, well, pastors, certainly, you always witness, you always share the gospel, you always talk to somebody about the Lord, don't you? I mean, after all, you're a preacher. That has nothing to do with it. Just being a preacher doesn't mean that I always do everything I'm supposed to do. And if I burst your bubble about me, I'm sorry, but that's the way life is. And that's the truth. I have to work on what I'm supposed to do as a follower of the Lord just as hard as any one of you have to work on it. Say, no. Yes. How come? Because I'm a red-blooded human being just like any one of you. And so I know that 29th verse of Philippians chapter 1 is there. It's been there, and I run across it every once in a while. But you know, it's not one of those passages of Scripture that I normally get those warm and fuzzy feelings about when I open it up and say, oh yeah, boy, I love that verse. I don't know that I've ever heard anyone say, this is my life's verse. This is my favorite verse. I wonder why. Go to chapter 2 of Philippians and look at verse 17. Actually, let's look at 16 and 17. Holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, if it costs me my life, Paul says, I joy and rejoice with you all. If reaching you Philippians for the Lord and helping you grow and grace in grace and become the Christians that you ought to be costs me everything, even my life. I joy and rejoice in it. It was worth it for Paul. And he let his readers know that. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we pick up at verse 7. And Paul was really just sharing his testimony here. You see in verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we have received mercy. As we have received mercy, we faint not. Paul says, and he's going to be talking about what ministry for the Lord costs him. We pick up at verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Really, what he's saying there is, we have this ministry for the Lord. And he said, believe it or not, we're nothing but earthen vessels. What are you made out of? According to the book of Genesis, dust. God uses vessels of dirt, you and me. Why didn't he use angelic hosts to spread the gospel to all the world? Why didn't he use those who could knock them dead if they didn't listen to them because they had power from the Lord as one of his heavenly hosts? That's not what God intended. And he said, we have this treasure, the ministry for the Lord, being able to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. God chose to use vessels just like you and just like me. Why did he do that? Paul said, so that all the glory would go where? To him. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. Was it a piece of cake? Was it trouble-free? We are troubled on every side. Paul said, everywhere we turn, we have trouble, but we're not distressed. We are perplexed. If somebody is perplexed, how would you describe what they're feeling? They've got a lot of questions about what's happening. Lord, how come they can't see they need to be saved? How come they don't just accept you as their Savior? We're perplexed. We don't have answers. How come God is working this way and how come God doesn't work that way? I don't know. I'm perplexed about it. But he said, we're not in despair. We're not just throwing up our arms and saying, doesn't make sense to me, I quit. He says, we're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're cast down, but that doesn't destroy us. And he says, here's what this treasure in earthen vessels. Remember now, he is talking about what do you think of the privilege of being a servant of the Lord, Paul? Well, it's a treasure in earthen vessels. And he said in verse 10, this privilege of serving the Lord, here's what it is, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. Do you know what he's saying there? We never know when what? We never know when this day may be the day that we lose our life for Christ. Talk about walking on eggshells. Paul said, we're always delivered unto death, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Flip a few pages to chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians. And now Paul is continuing, giving us a personal testimony of how that he said at the beginning of chapter 12, there was a time when he was caught up in verse 3. Verse 2, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, he said, I don't know whether I was dead or alive. God knows. But he said, I was caught up to the third heaven, and I heard, verse 4, unspeakable words, which it's not lawful for a man to utter. And he said, of such a one will I glory, yet not of myself. He said, I'd really like to talk about that, but God won't let me. But instead he said, I'm going to give glory in the infirmities, the struggles I have in serving the Lord. And he says, verse 7, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations. He said, instead of letting me get the big head for what he had shown me, what I had seen and heard in the third heaven, he gave me a thorn in the flesh so that I wouldn't get the big head and brag so much. And he said, lest I should be exalted above measure. And he said, I asked the Lord three times, verse 8, to take this thing away. But we pick up at verse 9 and 10. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul said, that's what I heard. Paul, you don't need me to take this away from you because I've given you all the grace you need to be able to bear it. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon thee. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for whom? For Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. It was worth it to the Apostle Paul, he said. Doesn't matter what I have to go through. If I can go through this for my Lord, he means that much to me. I will rejoice. Does the Lord mean that much to you? Let's go to the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 24. Colossians 1, verse 24. Paul was, again, giving his testimony to these. He says, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, you believers there in Colossae, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. He said, I'm going through a lot for you believers there, but he said, I rejoice in all the sufferings that I am experiencing because it's giving me an opportunity to share the gospel with you and make an contribution to your lives, Colossians. Is that how you would think about suffering, hardships? For what reason? Just because you're doing the Lord's work. Doing the Lord's work. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 could be linked with Philippians 1:29. For unto you who believe, you know, it's given unto you not only to believe, but also to suffer for his sake. You could connect that one to the truth Paul told Timothy here in 2 Timothy 3:12 when he said, well, I want to go back to 10. You know my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but the Lord delivered me out. The Lord out of them delivered me. Yea, verse 12. And all that will live godly in Christ Jesus, what's going to happen to them? They're going to do what? Suffer persecution. How many of us, you know, I think it's a common thing. A lot of times people have something. They like these little verses for the day. They sit at the breakfast table and they have these little things to encourage them as the day goes along. How many of us encourage ourselves by reading 2 Timothy chapter 3? Here's your verse for the day. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There's your thought for the day. Go get them. How many of us would say, Pastor, that just doesn't make sense? Yes, it does, because that is reality. But we try to avoid that. We try to do everything we can to not make waves with people, family members, neighbors, friends. Well, if I witness to them, they're not going to like it. Good chance of that. Praise the Lord, you got that concept figured out. But that's just what is ours to experience if we are going to be faithful to our Lord and live for Him as we ought to. If we are living the life to His glory, we're going to be causing trouble in certain circles. And people aren't going to like us. But I want everybody to like me. As Christians, that's not what we are to expect. We are to expect conflicts, trials, difficulties, persecution. This young pastor, missionary in South Africa, he did not go to the mission field with his eyes blindfolded, disillusioned. He knew full well the cost of serving our Lord. But I still think as believers in Christ, we can uphold him and his family and ask according to the Lord's will, would you restore that father, that husband, back to his family? If he's still alive, 3 days later, and his captors have not killed him, give him the grace to endure what they might be putting him through. That's what Paul said. The Lord told me in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, when Paul said, I asked God to take it away, and the Lord said, Paul, you don't need me to take it away. My grace is sufficient for you. So we pray for this man that God's grace would see him through that to the glory of the Lord. Couldn't God have stopped that? Absolutely. God's orchestrated that, and it's going to be used to his glory. How's that going to turn out there? I don't know. I hope this organization that supplied that information on that pastor will continue to feed. I'd like to keep you posted if we hear any more about this young missionary. First Peter chapter 3. Chapter 3:15, 16, and 17. Peter said, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. What does it mean to sanctify the Lord in your heart? Set him in his place. Set him apart in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they might be ashamed that falsely accuse your good manner of life in Christ. Here you go. Here's another thought for the day, verse 17. It is better if the will of God be so, that you suffer for what? Well-doing, than for doing evil. If you're going to have to suffer, it's far better to be suffering with a clear conscience for the Lord rather than getting what I have coming to me. I deserve this suffering. Chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. He said, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evil doer or as a busybody in other men's matters. But if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be what? What's your Bible say? Ashamed. It is nothing to be ashamed of if you are looked down upon, spoken against, mistreated, for the only reason is because you claim the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as your own Savior and Lord. And he says, if a man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but instead let him do what? Glorify God. Thank you, Lord, that I could suffer for you. Do you remember last week? That's how we started out some of those early verses in the book of Acts. They departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name in Acts 5:41. And that's what that connects here with what Peter is telling his readers. If you can suffer as a Christian, thank God for it. You're doing your job. Someone's getting the message. The devil is against you. He doesn't like what you're doing, and he's trying to do everything he can to discourage you, and he's bringing suffering your way because you're a Christian. Paul or Peter said, thank God for it. Revelation 12, verse 11. Revelation 12, 11 says this. Verse 10 has reference to the accuser of the brethren, a heavenly scene. And in verse 11 it says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. How'd they overcome him? They loved not their lives unto the death. That was what they were rejoicing in. Yeah, they had lost their lives, but they had lost their lives. They had given their lives for whom? The Lord. We're going to close with two references in Acts. We've bumped around this thought of, is Christ, does he mean enough to you to suffer for? What about die for? We're going to close with two references where that's actually mentioned. Acts 15:26 is our first one. It starts with verse 25, but 26 actually carries the thought. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. Men that have what? Hazarded. What's that mean? Risked. Men that have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. They were willing to volunteer. They were willing to go. You might die. That's all right. I'd get to die for my Lord. And the final reference is Acts 21:13. Acts 21:13. Where we see Paul was in a certain location. And it tells us, verse 10, we were there many days, and there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle or his belt, and he bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Spirit, I've got a message from the Lord. So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. This was a message from the Lord. I mean, this prophet got this message from the Holy Spirit, and he was trying to do what with the Apostle Paul? Get him to what? Change his mind. Paul, you may not want to go down there because the Holy Spirit has revealed to me if you go there, you're going to be taken captive. Here's our verse, verse 12. And when he heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Verse 13 is the verse. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and break my heart? What are you guys crying for? For I am ready not only to be bound only, but also to do what? Die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Can you say that? You know, is that your testimony? You know, I don't care what it costs. I don't care if I lose my life. I want to be faithful to my Lord. I don't want to fail him. I'll just tell you, last Sunday night's message and the verses that we've looked at and tonight's have been a big challenge to me. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. But I wonder if anybody else has been challenged like I have by the examples of our brothers in Christ who lived before us, who blazed the trail, who showed us the way, who set a pattern for us to follow. May God help us be faithful, not to those men, but to our Lord Jesus Christ. Truth is, He has done so much for us. whatever he asks of us is worth it. Let's stand and be dismissed in prayer. Father, once again, I pray that you would take your word and continue speaking to our hearts through it. Thank you for these examples of these brothers in Christ that someday we're going to get to meet when we get home in glory. Thank you for their testimony. Thank you for their courage. Thank you for their decisions and their determinations. Lord, their faith, their drive, their desire, you didn't just pick them up by the nape of the neck and drag them along. They had to cooperate with you and be willing to serve you in order for these things to be recorded. Help each of us to be willing to serve you no matter what. In your precious name we pray. Amen.